It's a beautiful thing to watch discipleship unfolding right before your very eyes. Amen. Amen. I want you to stop and think for a minute before we begin. Pastor Charlie said to you as we went into the fourth song that the sermon starts here. The sermon began when you chose to come into the presence of the living God. I want to ask you right now five questions to begin our time. But make no mistake, they're built on what we just experienced, which was worship. We were worshiping together. At least you were invited to worship together. I don't know if you did, but you were offered the invitation. So here are the five questions that I'd like to begin with. And I tell you up front, the first one is the overarching question, and then the following four are serving as pillars or subsets that uphold that first one. Question number one, single most important question today. How seriously are you taking the living God? How seriously are you taking the living God? And let me just give you a quick qualifier. How you worshiped speaks loudly into how seriously you take the living God. What your attitude was in coming to this point right here. Did you come without worship? Well, I made it for the sermon. Did you come through mechanical worship? I sang the songs, lighten up, will you? Or did you come early, anxious, excited, because you don't quite know what God might do here? Because you know that you're in the presence of the living God. Because every time two or three are gathered in his name, he's right here. Right here, right now, the living God. Did you come with the expectation of meeting with the living God? Were you worshiping like we sang? I feel like I'm breathing for the first time. I'm born again. I have fallen into grace. I'm running to the Father right here, right now. Again and again and again and again. I want to ask you question number one. How seriously are you taking the living God of the Bible? And not right here, right now. Say, oh man, Pastor, I had some sweat building up, man. There's some conviction. I'll tell you what, Sunday, 9:55 in the morning, I was taking them real serious. How about Tuesday, 4:45 in the afternoon? How about Thursday morning when you're waking up and hitting a snooze button on the alarm? How about Friday night when nobody else was looking? How seriously are you taking the living God? Question number two. How's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? Question number three, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Question number four, where exactly do you stand with the living God right now? Right now. Where do you stand with the living God right now? All right, fifth and final question. The first one is in context. 2, 3, and 4, they're going to drop right out of the scripture. You're going to see them. I'm just sharing with you God's word. Question number five is the application of the whole thing. Who are you fighting right now? Who are you fighting right now? And how, by the way, are you fighting right now? So, I pray I have your attention. I pray that God has already quickened your heart to say, ooh, I'm in the right place at the right time. Because I know God's talking to me. If you're not there yet, let me tell you, stop and take another look. Because he's here and he's talking to you right now. That's absolutely guaranteed from God's word. Now, God's word, this is where we find ourselves, not just as I preach the Bible, but we're literally going through a sermon series entitled Perspective. We're walking through Psalm 119, and the whole thrust of Psalm 119 is to bring glory to God by taking to heart his word, his will, and his ways. Literally, all but maybe a handful of the 176 verses of this psalm, every single one makes a direct reference to God's word. Do you think the psalmist is taking God and his word seriously? Do you think the message is that you and I need to take God and his word seriously? Now, if you're one who already is starting to check out, let me tell you, it's the grace and the mercy of God that says to you right here, right now, wake up and turn around. Heaven has opened to speak to you right here, right now. Do not take that lightly. Do not take that lightly. This entire sermon is for you. Not about you, but it's for you. It's for me. 25 hours of preparation for the 1 hour you're about to get. Okay, so the Lord has brought me under this wave 25 times more than anything you may feel or experience. Glory be to God. This is living grace. We're going to continue on in the walk that we were in last week. You see, if you were with us, we looked at verses 33 through 40. We're walking through Psalm 119, literally verse by verse, stanza by stanza. We're now coming into the sixth stanza of 22, in line with the Hebrew alphabet. And today we're going to look at one verse. We're going to look at verse 41. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to come with me. See that everything I share with you is 100% God's word. You're not getting Jeff's opinion, you're getting God's word. And that's important, critical. Now, last week we saw, as Pastor Charlie shared, this theme continues: pray, obey, repeat. Pray, obey, repeat. That's the scripture. That's not, again, that's not the bridge. It's not Pastor Jeff. That's God and his word. Pray, obey, repeat. Pray in line with God's word. Obey in line with God's word. And then repeat, living, loving, and sharing God's word. Repeat. Pray, obey, repeat. Well, the big idea that we took away last week in looking at verses 33 through 40, and this matters because we're going to look at verse 41. So here's the immediate context that we're coming out of. It was that we should continuously cry out, like the songs, cry out, not, "Psst, excuse me, Lord, have you got a second?" As though we're looking for some gray poupon. We're to cry out to Christ continuously, pleading with the living God to give us an increasing consistency in our comprehensive Christ-likeness. Well, we're going to continue now with verse 41, and you're going to see as it opens up the door to verse 41 through 48, we're going to continue in the same prayer, in the same process, and in the same pattern, but with a twist. Watch for the twist. I pray God changes you with the twist. There is a true, timeless thing for you to take away today. That big idea is that, and hear me please, you'd better. Now, you say, that sounds a little heavy. Well, I pray that you take the heavy because it's holy. You see, I've entitled today's sermon, Holy Prayers, Fears, Faith, and Fights. Holy prayers, holy fears, holy faith, and holy fights. So if it sounds a little heavy, understand that's on purpose. God's word here is coming to you now with a subtle heaviness. Don't miss it. You'd better get your prayers, your fears, your faith, and your fights in biblical, God-honoring order. Because what we saw earlier in this psalm, the end is coming sooner than you think. You'd better get Your prayers, your fears, your faith, and your fights in biblical, God-honoring order. Let me paraphrase that. You better get your head, your heart, and your hands in line with the living God. You're going to see in Psalm 119, verse 41, I pray, that this is what the Lord has for you and me. Let me give you the 5-point outline that we're going to follow. It's those questions. Number one, how seriously are you taking the living God? Question number two, how's your prayer life in terms of quality and quantity? How's your prayer life? Question number three, point three, what are you afraid of? What are you literally afraid of? Question number four, where exactly do you stand right now with the living God? And question number five, who are you fighting? Who are you fighting? And how are you fighting? Question number one, this is the big context, the umbrella over which this passage really represents. So let me again ask you, how seriously are you taking the living God? And true to the psalm in terms of its approach and its way, I'd like to begin by hopefully helping to tenderize your heart by bringing from this poetic psalm, this psalm that teaches us by touching our hearts, I want to bring to you song. I said to you today, worship was going to be a big part of this message. Already has been, and it will continue. I want to share with you a song that comes out of our Bridge family. I want to ask you to pray the words of this song. And if you can't, let the words of this song do what only God could do with them in your heart. Don't fight him. Don't fight him. Listen to this. Take it to heart. And then we'll pick right back up.
When you peel away the veil, sink it down to what is real. Get rid of all the idols you try only to conceal. Your inner self stands on its own, exposed for all to see. Your heart, your life, your very soul. What you've come to be. Lord, show me all the corners that I have tried to hide. Just can't win. Lord, show me all the corners that I have tried to hide. All the ways I've covered over, the workings of my pride. I need you, Lord, I need you. Your light to lead me through. Come reign in me forever. I will live for only you.
Amen and amen and amen. How seriously are you taking the living God? Is that a song that's a 4-minute nuisance? Or does it guide you in worship, in confession, perhaps in conviction that will lead to restoration? That's the context. I want you to realize, and I pray in looking in the mirror, realize, there are a few things in this world that are more eternally revealing than a person's heartfelt prayers. You want to know what's going on in regards to the road to eternity? Listen to the prayer life. Let's go to that second question. How is your prayer life? And this is where we're going to open up the scripture so you don't think this is just Pastor Jeff messing with you. This is the God of the Word talking to you. So, when we look at Psalm 119, verse 41, this is an ongoing prayer. Don't miss this. It's not preaching. It's a prayer that I'm preaching, hoping that the touching that God is doing of the heart will do the teaching that you're needed to get started in this healthy walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 119, verse 41. Ready? Let's do this together. I'm reading from the ESV. You're going to see today that different translations are going to handle this a little differently. But let's begin with the first two words from my ESV translation. Let your. What do you know from those two words? It's a request. It's a crying out. And I pray you'll see before we're done, it's a subtle but real expression of holy fear. Holy fear. Faithful fear. Let your, it's a crying out for something. It's saying to the Lord, remember, this is an ongoing prayer. Lord, let your, let me finish the verse and then we'll unpack it sequentially this morning. Let your steadfast love, or some of your translations will say, let your mercies, let your loving kindness, let your unfailing love come to me. Let your loving kindness come to me, O Lord. Now we know whose loving kindness it is. Let your loving kindness come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Well, let's talk about the prayer, because your prayer life has a direct reflection on your serious posture with the living God. How you pray, if you pray, when you pray, for what you pray, all speaks to your relationship with the Lord. Again, some of you, within the sound of my voice, you're not praying at all. You think you got this. The opposite of the song. I don't need the Lord. I am the master of my own domain, says the fool. Some of you are praying ritualistically. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. No heart. Some of you are praying, but only when you're seeing the Lord as a vending machine or Santa Claus. Some of you are praying, thinking that you're praying in a healthy way, when in reality it's pitiful. You're just piling up a giant word salad, tons of words, like what we saw. Don't pray like the pagans, Jesus said, a bunch of babble. How's our prayer life? It reveals our relationship in a very real way. Let me give you five aspects to remember in regards to your prayer life. First, remember the person to whom you pray. If you're a biblical Christian, we're talking about the Almighty. Again, the living God. Let me ask you this, and this I pray will lighten your spirit and lift you up. What is on the next other side of your next fervent prayer with the living God? What might come after the next fresh encounter you have with the living God? When you have biblically poured out your worship, your praise, your drawing near to Him, whether you ask for something or not, what is on the other side of your next fresh encounter with the living God? Answer, I don't know. Let me ask you to consider this. What might be on the other side of your next fresh encounter with the living God? And let me tell you, beyond your wildest dreams may be on the other side of your next fresh encounter with the living God. Now, let me also tell you, you may find yourself in the middle of a metropolitan area in the country of Ukraine. Same living God is on His throne. And you may find that you're in a place where you desperately need the living God. That it's not that you're on the mountaintop, but that you're in the deepest valley, and all of a sudden Psalm 23 becomes your battle cry, your promise. I just want you to realize how much you and I need this healthy prayer life. Recognize it's not only the person of the living God, but don't miss the power that is in a biblical prayer life. Again, you don't know what God's amazing grace may have for you on the other side of amen. Think about the purpose for your prayer life. It has nothing to do with your laundry list of wishes and wants from this world. Our prayer life is all about the glory of God. It's a way to be drawn closer to Him, to see Him more intimately, more biblically, more majestically. How about the promise that is involved in your prayer life? Matthew 28:20, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. How about you can do all things in Christ who gives you strength? Philippians 4:13. How about you've received everything you need for life and godliness? 2 Peter 1:3. Let me tell you the fifth part of your prayer life to remember, and that is the problems with your prayer life. Because no doubt on a day like today and the hearing of this message, there will be some who will say, I don't get those. I'm not benefacting from these things. And I would say to you, the problem with your prayer life is sin, sin, sin. There'll always be sin at the core of the problem. Now, many know that sin. Yeah, got me, Pastor, you're right. This one right here, that's my audacious sin, and I'm enjoying it. Hence, I'm not hearing from the living God. Or what I'm hearing is chastising and convicting me, which is His grace, by the way, as a warm-up call before His wrath shows up. Some of you have hidden sin. Oh, it's in there, but nobody else knows it. And I'm a hypocrite. I don't act like I like it. I just really do. But I know which face to put on. And some, you have sin and you don't even realize you have sin. This is why we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, please, I confess, I repent. And if I have something that I need to confess and repent and I don't realize it, please show it to me. Because I don't want to have any problems with this prayer life. I take you so seriously that I recognize I need for us to be intimate. I need you. I need this prayer life. The psalmist demonstrates this for us, has and will continue to through Psalm 119. All of God's word echoes this. I recently heard this quote from Daniel Henderson. I share it with you. Quote, prayer is the key to preparing our hearts and aligning our wills to God's wills and ways, my addition, in order to step through the doors of God's opportunities, end quote. Similarly, Rick Fisher says, quote, when our prayer life is healthy and holy, God lays his heart over our hearts. Think about that. When your prayer life is healthy and holy, God's heart comes and covers your heart. Rick goes on to say, when we park our hearts before the Lord in prayer, he, the Lord, launches us into the middle of his blessings. Amen, end quote. Friends, we need to take seriously a crying out for a continuous commitment to pray with adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication on behalf of others. We need to be those who take seriously the need to have prayer at the very core of all that we are, do, and hope for. Don't miss this. How seriously are you taking the Lord, and how is your prayer life? Again, it's Psalm 119, 41. Let your, so here's the prayer. It's a continuation of the crying out. Second question, what are you afraid of? This is where the twist is going to come. You ready? What are you afraid of? Again, the scripture. Let your steadfast love come to me. Do you have any fear at all that the Lord's steadfast love may not come to you? What happens in your world if the Lord's loving mercies don't come to you? You ought to fear that. It ought to be a reverent, holy fear that you're stranded on the island of your disobedience. Hear me. It ought to scare you to death that you may get stranded alone on the island of your disobedience. This is the subtlety of what the psalmist is bringing to us here. And I say to you again, your fears, they give a direct reflection of your relationship and the health of your serious posture with the living God. Now, some of us, we're going to say, hang on there, pastor. Hang on there, preacher. I know a little bit about this Bible too. And the single most repeated command in all the Bible is fear not. And that's true. And at the same time, I can say to you with my Bible in hand, you want to know who the most foolish person is in the world or the most foolish people are in the world? Those who do not have a reverent fear of God. Because the Bible says, Proverbs 1:7 and 9:10, that a reverent fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So those who are literally fearless when it comes to the living God are the greatest fools in all the world because they have zero wisdom. They've not even begun to acquire. You say, Pastor Jeff, what do I do with this? We've already, as a family, discussed some of this morning. You better come to understand what the Bible really says. You better take God seriously. You better take God's word seriously. You better take the pursuit of understanding him. In fact, let me go back to last week. Again, immediate context, verse 33 through 38. Here's what the psalmist does to this. Cries out to the Lord. Teach me, Lord. Give me understanding, Lord. Lead me, Lord. This is all building up right to our verse. Teach me, Lord. But you know what? You can teach me. You're a great teacher, but I'm dumber than a box of rocks. And so I need some understanding. I need you to help me to even understand. In fact, I need you to lead me because I don't always want to be taught or to understand. Please lead me. Please bend my heart before you have to break me. Turn my eyes away from the distractions. Give me life, Lord. Confirm for me your promises. These are all the immediate prayers, the crying out. Listen to the end of verse 38. So that, here's the purpose. So that you, God, Lord, may be feared. All of my previous prayers were so that I would fear you. You see, friends, you and I need to come to understand there's a win and there's a sin when it comes to fear and faith. It's a win when you have a reverent fear of Almighty God. It's a sin when you hold to fearing the way of the world. God is not mincing words and he's not contradicting. What he's saying is you better get your fears in order. You need to have a healthy, reverent fear of me. What does that look like? It has a lot to do with how you worship, has a lot to do with how you pray, has a lot to do with how you handle my word or don't handle my word. This is what he's getting at. I pray that you and I will come to realize that we have to get to a place where we fear a wrong relationship with the living God. And we have faith in all the promises that come with that relationship. I pray that you see this. We're going to deal more with that fear. We're going to come back to it before we're done. But let's go on now to the third question. This, again, I pray, is going to help you. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with the living God? Where does that come from? Well, let's continue with the verse. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, Yahweh, your salvation. Where do you stand with this Lord in terms of your salvation? Where are you right now today? Where do you stand? And do you have a healthy fear that you might not be standing with him? You might not be standing in him. And if you're a Christian and you say, this message isn't for me, whoa, back that truck up. Because the next question is, if you are a Christian, how healthy is your walk? You might be in Ziklag right now, like King David. You may be so far off the rails that you're getting ready to lay down with Bathsheba or maybe just murder Mariah. You know, where are you? Where are you with the living God? I pray that you take this to heart. The word salvation, this is beautiful. Because you see, nothing's going to tell you more about how serious somebody takes the living God than how they look at and treat their own status in terms of salvation. What you'll find is that this word can be translated salvation, can be translated as rescue. Have you been rescued? How appreciative are you of the rescue? Also can be translated deliverance. Have you been delivered? Where are you standing? I like to use this analogy when I'm in the prisons. If the Lord were to set you free and take you out, and now all of a sudden you have all the freedoms that you've always longed for, think of it like being rescued out of the frigid waters after the Titanic sunk. You're in the water, you're going down for the count, you're hearing the screams of those who are dying and drowning. Others screaming as the sharks are literally eating them to death. And all of a sudden, as you're about to go down and you feel a shark bump your leg and the water is beginning to take you over, a hand comes down and grabs you. Grabs your hand and heaves you into the lifeboat. I want to ask you, what do you do? Do you head to the back of the boat, kick your feet up, and ask how long before we get to the shore because you're a little hungry? Anybody bring a snack? Or are you hanging over the edge of the boat, slamming your hand into the shark-infested waters, hoping to find somebody else? I want to ask you, where do you stand in terms of your rescue, your deliverance? One of the other words that translates this Hebrew word is victory. Are you walking in victory in Jesus? And I'll tell you what, those that answer that word, that question, yes, truthfully, they're not here to be served, but to serve and to give their lives as a ransom for many, just like Jesus. This is how you come to know. You see, the truly saved are serious about serving their Lord. They are literally biblically praying, biblically fearful, biblically faithful, biblically fighting. Let me bring the question to you again through song. I pray here again. The song comes to you like the psalm in a way to help calibrate you, regardless of what that means. Watch this, and then we'll come back.
Okay, this is my uncomfortable question.
Again, I say amen. I recognize that can be an uncomfortable question, more than just the title of the song, but I pray that you sense it's the grace of God that would come and ask you, that would bring the clarity so that you could know. It gives me goosebumps to watch my daughter sing such a powerful song that literally is coming right out of God's word. And I have an instinctive response. Maybe you do too. When we get to this place where it gets a little uncomfortable, you know, where all of a sudden you're kind of, whoo, My instinctive response is to go directly to God's word. So let's do that. Because some of you perhaps right now are in that place. So let me walk with you to and through God's word. Again, back to Psalm 119:41. And this time I want to show it to you because here's where the visual blessing, I pray, begins. In English, the verse is approximately 15 words. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your promise or your word. If you go ahead two verses to verse 43, because some of you are still saying, I haven't seen the fear yet, Pastor. Where are you getting that from? See this. It's in the context. Verse 43, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. You see here, the psalmist is praying, crying out, oh Lord, please bring me your loving kindness and please don't take your word out of my mouth. The whole context here is holy fear. Holy fear to affect our relationship, our prayers, our fear, our faith, even how we fight. But let me show you now this verse in Hebrew. You're going to read it in English. But these 15 English words, they come to us in five Hebrew words. Look very carefully here. The first Hebrew word, it's numbered in red. Also, let come in. Second Hebrew word, it's in green. Your loving mercies. Third Hebrew word, O Lord, Yahweh. Fourth Hebrew word, your salvation. Fifth Hebrew word, according to your word or your promise. Now notice what you see. The red goes with the red. One and five are meant to go together. This is where the structure of the verse, in the same way that Psalm 119 is an acrostic, and that tells us something very important. This verse is a chiastic arch. Verse one goes with verse five. Verse two goes with verse four. And verse three is at the heart and the center of all of it. Listen to it now as I read it, the way the arch would have it. Also, let come in, according to your word, your loving mercies, your salvation, O Lord. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. You see it. O Lord, please grace me with the miracle I need. I have nothing unless you bring to me. And bring to me according to your word, by the way. According to your word. Bring to me your loving kindness, your mercies, your unfailing love, which culminates in your salvation. Justify me, Lord, then sanctify me all the way until you glorify me back home in heaven. And all of this, O Lord, look at it this way without the words. Psalm 119:41 is the gospel. It's all, note, the point is pointing to the capital P point. In the Old Testament, it's pointing ahead to the Messiah who would come. In the New Testament, there's the Messiah proving who he is. And for you and me on this side of the cross, we're looking back to him, his name is Jesus, and we're looking ahead to his coming. We know that we know that we know. Because we take him seriously. We take his word seriously. We worship him truly. We love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our prayer life reflects it. Our fears. We don't fear the world. We have a reverent fear of God and nothing else. Amen. Because of who he is. It's all about him, friends. Before we move on to the last point, let me just remind you, the gospel is right here in Psalm 119, verse 41. The Lord is here speaking to you right now, sharing his gospel. Recognize that the arch is pointing to the point. His name is Jesus. And I pray that you understand what this shows us. Our worship, our relationship, our prayers, our fears, our faith, and even as we bring it all together, our fights are to be in Christ and for Christ and by his gracious power in our lives. Let me take us now to that last question. Who are you fighting? Think about, again, the context here. The psalmist is praying a holy prayer with holy fear, trying to enhance and build by grace his relationship with the living God. I share with you this. When You look at how somebody fights, it'll tell you a lot about their relationship with the Lord. They don't fight anything because they don't care about his standards. That'll tell you something. They fight with a flamethrower like a Pharisee, and they just beat people to death with their Bibles. That'll tell you something about them. They compromise and, quote, pick their battles. That'll tell you something about them. They want to fight over just about everything. That'll tell you something about them. Or you can have that Christ-like, comprehensive, increasing consistency in Christ-likeness. I wore my sweatshirt on purpose. The image on my sweatshirt shows T9s and Christ crash. Some of you know it. The T9, when it shows up in Africa, I know for a fact when it shows up in Kenya, people know a road's coming through. Doesn't matter how big the tree or how big the boulder. When the T9 shows up because it moves what nothing else can move. The church, we're to fight like T9s. We go where the Lord sends us. We do what the Lord tells us to do. And we do it in his word, his will, and his ways. Similarly with the crash, when you look at the rhino. Rhino, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 pounds. Giant horn made of steel, pretty much. Run 30 miles an hour with a casing that's like armor. But they can only see 30 feet in front of them. Kind of like you and me. What's the Lord got for this church in the summer of 2022? I have no idea, but I know we're running straight to that summer, to the glory of God. The rhinos run, and if you don't get out of the way, you get run over. And here again, it's the church of Jesus Christ. We compromise with no one. We shirk responsibilities or redirect our obedience for no one. Yes, Lord, no matter what. This is how we are to fight, to the glory of God, with a holy humility coupled with a backbone made of steel by the grace of God, a conviction to compromise with no one over nothing, with a passion for the glory of God that will not accept a single stain on his name or on his glory. This is who we are. Now, somebody says, well, where do you get that? It's the closing of the verse. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word. According to your word. You're an ambassador for Christ, Christian. Ambassadors represent the king to their death and to their great privilege. According to your word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, a part of this morning's Bible study and this sermon. It's to remember that God's word is God-breathed. There is none that you can compromise. You don't juggle, you don't swap. You harmonize in the sweetness of yes, Lord. You're to have a childlike faith that says no matter what. How are you fighting? Who are you fighting? Are you fighting against God? Do you find yourself right now digging your heels in? Do you find yourself rationalizing? Why? Well, it's okay because. Well, you don't understand, preacher. Who and how are you fighting? Are you fighting the enemies of God? Or are you fighting God himself? Maybe you're one who would say, well, it's just really, really hard right now, preacher. Well, let me give you a little news flash. It's going to stay hard and it's going to get harder. That's true. It's just irrelevant. Let me show you again, by way of I pray inspiration, how simple this can be when you take the God of the Word seriously and the Word of God seriously. You don't need to be a rocket scientist. You just need to be faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Okay, honey. Tell me what you think about when you think about Job and what you like about him.
I like Job because even though when all these bad things happen. Even though all these bad things happen to him, he's stuck with God. Satan did these many bad things, and he's stuck with God no matter what.
Does Job remind you of anybody?
He reminds me of Joseph. Everything was not going good for him, but he stuck with God. He knew God had a plan.
So even when bad things happen, we could still trust God?
Yeah, definitely. No matter what, you can always trust in God. When bad things happen, then it's just not your day, but God has a plan, and whatever happens is a part of it.
And if you wanted to help somebody that never knew about Job, and maybe they're going through hard times, how would you help somebody that didn't know about Jesus or never learned about Job?
Then I would probably give them a Bible.
Yeah. Why? What is it that you think that would help them about giving them a Bible?
I think if they're having a hard time and then they read it, I think they're going to realize how some people in the Bible, they were going through the same things, but when the person reads it, I think they're going to think, hey, well, if they did the same thing, maybe, and they pray to God, maybe I should pray too.
And you think that they need to just say a prayer, or do they need to trust and love God?
They need to trust and love.
Well, you want to tell the people that may watch this, tell them how you hope that this will help them?
I hope you have a very nice life, but the true happiness is only with God. I'm going to be praying that you find your happiness with God.
You see, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. I promise you, Silas was not putting anything on. I was studying, preparing for a sermon. That's 10 years ago. My little boy's on his way to Liberty University this fall. You saw childlike faith. He meant it. To the extent that he could, he believed every word he said. This is how you fight. You fight with the word, the will, and the ways of God. You fight for the glory of God. You trust him no matter what. Friends, I want to circle around and come to our head here and just ask you again, how seriously are you taking the living God? How's your prayer life? Let me just camp here for a minute. How you doing with your fear and your faith? I pray that you have a faithful fear, and that the faulty faith that is filled with fear has been taken away by the grace of God. Here's some ways to just think through this passage. This is what the psalmist was faithfully fearing, and I ask it to you personally. Are you faithfully fearing that you won't receive God's fullest blessing? That's what he was fearing. In fact, he was fearing that he might, and might you fear that one day you'll end up an empty spiritual shell? That's the reality of this fear. He was fearing that he wouldn't trust God's word and promise. He was fearing that he would, in fact, trust his own ways and the ways of the world. Do you have a healthy, faithful fear that you might not receive God's loving mercies, that instead you'd be filled and are filled right now with the world, the flesh, and the devil? It would be healthy and holy to have such fear. He was, and I pray you will, fear that you won't receive eternal life through Christ's victory. If you're not there yet, I pray to God he instills a fear in you that you won't be saved unless and until you surrender and cry out to the living God. On the other side of that won't is this will fear. I pray if that's you, you fear being eternally cast into a damnation that comes in a very real hell, that you would understand, as Jonathan Edwards said it, that you are sinners in the hands of an angry God. I pray that that is eternally serious to some. The psalmist was concerned and praying because he had a healthy fear that he wouldn't love, fear, and follow the living God, but would instead continue to play, hate, and rebel against this living God. We'll unpack more of this next week, but I promise you, this is what's there. Now, I ask you, how are you fighting? Who are you fighting? Are you fighting against God or are you fighting for God? Are you fighting against the word of God or are you fighting like with the sword of the Spirit? Are you fighting with God's word? Are you fighting with or against his will and his ways? Those of you who can say honestly, I'm with the king, no matter what. I'm with the king, no matter what. And yes, I'm getting pummeled right now. It is an absolute bloodbath. And truth be known, there's a lot of in-name-only Christians that are throwing the rocks and making it harder. A lot of counterfeits out there that are really wreaking havoc. But I'm not compromising. My commitment to yes, Lord, is no matter what. And I'll be the first one to say I couldn't do this if it weren't for the grace of God. I'd have cut and run a long time ago. But his power, his purpose, his presence in my life has given me what it takes to walk this narrow way. And if he'll give that for me, I'll give my life for him. If that's you, I want to leave today. Before I close, I want to give you a personal inspiration and blessing from God. Because storms aren't going away. Fight's not going anywhere. You're going to live in it till you go home. In victory. Remember the verse? Lord, bring to me, please, your salvation, your deliverance, your rescue, your redemption, your victory. I have victory in Jesus, and no one and nothing can take it away. You might cut my head off, but before it hits the ground, I'm in the presence of the living God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He saved me, and I'm going home no matter what. You can't stop me. Try to intimidate Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Try to scare Lazarus. Are you kidding me? They knew that they knew that they knew. And the only thing that's preventing you from that same place is whether or not you are taking the living God and his word seriously to heart. Remember, if you're a biblical Christian, you're fighting from victory, not for victory. He's already done it. Let this song take you into your time of continued battle today and the rest of your life.
Grant my weak heart your shield, for I know that fear does not belong here. Amen. Amen. 'Cause I'm calling out the wolves of Satan. No, I'm no longer fooled by your wicked ways, so stay away, you're not welcome. Cast out the doubt, depression's rout, most of all fear. I said, say clear, you may not steer me away. So go ahead and bite my flesh and distract me from all of my sins. Beat me at a mental game of chess. Your will not penetrate his fence. Because this herd has heard from the good shepherd, and we will not be frightened, caused to turn away. Instead, we'll pray as you pray on us, because your pack of wolves just look like pups in comparison. Have our almighty God, don't you see this warrior fighting has already been won? So I'd rather be sheep, an army of his bright sun, amen. Oh, so even if the song kills me, for your wolves will not steal me, because my God is already. Satan, bring it on. Even if my life's not that long, I know where my eternity belongs. So this will remain my fight song. Oh, dear Lord, please grant my weak heart your shield. For I know that fear does not belong here.
Don't miss the overlooking of the cemetery. If you have taken, like the psalmist, the living God seriously, his worship, his word, your prayer life, your fears, your faith, even how you fight, then you go out with that song as an anthem, because you know that you know that you know that you're fighting from victory and not for victory. We fight this way according to God's word, God's will, and God's ways. We fight locally, regionally, and globally. We do it with aspects of our head, our heart, and our hands. We do it by the grace of God, for the glory of God, and through the gospel spreading of our Lord. And we do no more. We do no less, and we do no matter what for the glory of our God. I pray this is you today and for the rest of your lives. Lord, please take this word, this time of worship. And Lord, for those that may have come and said during this song, boy, it really calibrated me during this sermon. And I wish now that I had come into worship differently. I wish my prayer life had been aligned. I pray that you use this next 13 and a half minutes to show them your amazing grace and do what only you can do, in part through the mercy of a do-over. May there be hearts here today that take the grace of your do-over right now, and may it change them forevermore, all by your grace and all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen and amen.
You're calling me to lay aside the worries of my day, to quiet down my busy mind.
worthy of all your worship, God.
I open up my heart and let my spirit worship yours. I open up my mouth and let a song of praise come forth.
Worthy, you are worthy of a childlike fragrance.
I know that I
needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Came along and you sang your song.
like I'm born again. Feels like I'm living for the very first time. I'm living for the first time.
Hallelujah.
Father, we're so grateful for we can run into your arms. We're so grateful that your arms are wide open to receive your children and to receive anyone who hears your voice and repents and believes, Father. Grant faith today, Lord. Grant your grace to open eyes of hearts for salvation or sanctification. All we know is that we need you, Lord. May we submit to your voice with joy in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.